So good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So today, we reach the fifth and final talk in our current series on the five marks of mission. And the theme this week is treasure. Strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. Let's start by just taking a moment to ponder on what we imagined when we hear the word treasure. Buried treasure. Aha! So it's often a noun, like we kind of grow up with in our pirate stories as children. But in this case, it's being used as a verb, to treasure something. One dictionary definition of the verb is to keep carefully a valuable or valued item. Things are generally treasured for two different reasons. One is rarity. This might be on account of limited availability, like a precious metal, or a jewel, or a special piece of craftsmanship, or artwork. And then, there's value in the eyes of the beholder. Maybe something that actually isn't intrinsically valuable, but it's how we feel about something, like photographs or memories of loved ones, perhaps those no longer with us. We treasure the memories. The context of treasure as the fifth mark of mission is about us as Christians treasuring or keeping carefully God's creation and striving to sustain and renew the life of the earth. Because we understand its value as a precious item entrusted to us, precious for both its rarity and its beauty, but also for its emotional value. It's our home. It's full of awesome wonders and sights which fill our memories. The collection of verses that has been selected for today's talk give us the vital scriptural foundation to understand our relationship with creation. I'm now going to go through them and try and build the picture. In particular, look at the words I've highlighted in blue, because that's what I'm going to try and put together when I've kind of worked our way through the readings. So first of all, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the Bible opens with the truth that God created the earth. Our whole human life is spent in a place that God created. That alone gives us cause to treat it with respect before we look further. In Genesis 1, verse 28, God is speaking to mankind who he has created, and he says, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the earth." So man is commanded by God to multiply, to fill the earth and rule over it and the other creatures. And that's something that actually we shouldn't feel afraid of. It's God's command. And in verses 29 and 30, God shows his provision. Firstly, for man, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." And God also then shows his provision for other living creatures. "And to the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." This was a perfect ecosystem. And this section finishes by saying, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good." Can't help feeling there's a bit of what I would call British understatement there. wasn't just very good, it was perfect. And this understanding is then reinforced in the verses from Genesis 2. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And then verse 15 is particularly important. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. It sets out that man is allowed to enjoy God's perfect provision whilst being charged with managing the earth responsibly under God's authority. And in the passages from Matthew, Jesus reinforces the teaching from Genesis about God's provision for mankind and about our elevated status over other creatures. Chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And then finally, Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The environmental challenges we face today are complex and very much connected to our modern ways of living. As such, we do not find verses in Scripture that speak specifically into issues like climate change. But the principles we should follow are laid out in these verses. Let me summarise by pulling them together into three points. Firstly, God created the earth and it was very good. Secondly, God provided sufficient food, clothing, and I would say everything else, for mankind and all living creatures. In other words, God gave us a sustainable ecosystem. And thirdly, God values mankind. He gives us the elevated role of being a responsible steward for the earth to safeguard the integrity of creation. As I approach this talk, I ask myself an obvious question of context. What has treasuring our planet got to do with mission? Compared to the other four T's in the five marks of mission, which you very correctly remembered, tell, teach, tend, transform, treasure seems to be the least connected to how we traditionally think about Christian mission. After all, there are many non-religious organisations like Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth, as well as individuals who campaign passionately for the environment without the conviction of our beliefs. In some ways, they are like the God-fearing Greeks in Athens that Paul addresses in Acts 17, worshipping an unknown God. Paul explained to them that their unknown God was in fact the God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth. In the same way, wanting to protect and sustain life on earth is a worthy ideal for everyone and a good instinct, but our calling as Christians is for a higher purpose. It's our calling from God through faith. For us as Christians to be taking leadership in environmental matters visibly driven by the convictions of our belief, highlights by way of example to all who are concerned about the environment that there is a greater purpose in protecting the earth. Of course, we all share the same worthy preservation instinct on behalf of our children and future generations, but we do it out of worship for our God who has given us this amazing gift. And the flip side of this argument is that if we don't bother taking the selfish view that God will take care of it anyway, which is an attitude that's held in some parts of the church in the US, then we abdicate the calling to stewardship that God gave us in the beginning, and we falter in our mission to draw others to Jesus. Christians who do not seem to care about the environment set an unattractive example, inconsistent with worshipping God as our creator and provider. So, as a mark of mission, we need to be setting an active and visible example in treasuring our environment. St. Mark's is a church which takes this seriously and shows leadership driven by Karen Park, who I believe is going to say a few words at the end on specific things that I've referred to. And personally, I actually take great delight in this, although if I'm honest, I actually haven't had that much practical involvement with it. Back in 2018, St. Mark's won a Silver Eco Church Award in recognition of our efforts to care for God's earth in each of these areas. Worship and teaching, and that's why it just comes up every so often in our talks and the themes for our service. In the management of our buildings and land, in community and global engagement, and also in lifestyle. I believe we were the first church in Chichester Diocese, which is a big old diocese, to actually achieve this status and of having an Eco Church Award. And we've not rested on our laurels in the last 4 years. Here's a couple of examples I'm going to give you. So, did anyone know that that's what it looks like if you go to the very far side of the green space on that side of the church? I didn't till I was researching this talk last week and I went out there with my camera phone and took a couple of pictures. But actually, I encourage you all to go over there when you get the time. It's a beautiful woodland trail, and there's a seating area, and it's been created, and it can be used by the public. And in the corner, you'll see this wonderful structure on the right-hand picture that's been created by Lawrence Schofield. It's not a bug hotel. It's a perfect bug replica of St. Mark's. And if you look closely enough, you might just spot a praying mantis. I made that up actually. St. Mark's PCC has unanimously agreed to take St. Mark's to net zero carbon emissions by 2030, in line with the Church of England setting this aim. The UK at large is targeting 2050 for net zero. So the church is showing bold leadership. St. Mark's carbon footprint currently averages round about 18 tonnes of CO2 per year. And around 85% of our carbon emissions come from one source. It's the gas used by the boiler in our heating system, which is over 15 years old. Recently, we have sought expert advice on heat pumps with a view to replacing the boiler with a low-carbon alternative. It's only got so far, we're just kind of exploring it, but it is a work in progress. And just as a very quick aside, I think this is a beautiful example, and perhaps building on Peter's insight earlier, that actually there are areas where God wants to use the talents of members of our church. In this case, the talents of engineering and project management. These are modern gifts which are important in the life of a modern church. not just the traditional ones that you'll find listed in the New Testament. There are many more gifts that sometimes you don't think about. One of the common themes of the five marks of mission is that for each mark, our mission is not confined to what we do collectively as church. What we do individually in our daily lives outside of church is a central part of our mission. This is especially true for treasure. Here's some food for thought. As I mentioned earlier, St. Mark's carbon footprint, which is essentially the gas and the electricity that we use, currently averages at around 18 tonnes of carbon dioxide per year. And that is the equivalent of 4 or 5 average domestic houses. Now, I don't know the number of houses our church members live in, but I think a reasonable guess might be about 150. It's kind of electoral roll divided by 2. I'm sure there are perhaps more accurate statistics available, but this is just order of magnitude stuff. So in other words, if our church consumes the same as 5 houses, 150 houses is going to consume 30 times as much carbon as the church building itself. And the same is probably true for the other environmental impacts, like water consumption and household waste. As we are often rightfully told, a church is a community rather than a building. So actually, there is far more potential for St. Mark's to improve, particularly through our individual households. And I would certainly be the first to admit our household actually lags behind the church in many respects concerning its environmental impact. I'm really impressed by the way the church leadership team have been driving for a good many years now. Now, we all have individual domestic situations arising from our different lives, so I'm not advocating any specific action for all, like going out and getting a heat pump or an electric car right now. But there is one thing that we can all do, and that is to take the online questionnaire that's offered by the Care Creation Scheme to encourage households of all ages to make changes to care for God's world. You can find the link on the Eco Church page in the About Us section of the church website. And if you look where I've drawn that red ring, that's where the link is. I believe we were all called to change what we can to benefit God's creation, even if it is just modest steps, like walking or cycling places that we would have driven to, like repairing broken items rather than replacing them with new ones, or certainly being the first response when something breaks down. We can share occasionally used items like power tools so others don't have to purchase them. And we can resell items like toys and clothes that are in good condition but no longer needed. As a practical example, you wouldn't believe how many second-hand plastic toys we've bought for our grandchildren via channels like eBay and Facebook Marketplace. They're always in good condition. You pay an awful lot less than when they were new. And there's this comfort in knowing that children are enjoying toys that probably would otherwise have been ended up in landfill because probably the children who first had them grew out of them. And the same is true, there are good quality clothes that, you know, fashion has a habit of making us give up on clothes and footwear well before it's worn out. There are channels now available to us to actually just kind of make best use of these resources. Sometimes the challenges of addressing the wholesale destruction of the planet can seem overwhelming in the face of what we can do individually. And of course we can pray about it. But I think the words of this mark of mission are well chosen. If we truly treasure the earth as the gift of God, our Creator, as we treasure the other things that are close to our hearts, then it will create in us a change of heart towards tending and caring for the part of it that we are responsible for in our lives. It is a work in progress. It will probably never be complete in our lifetimes. But we can all at least strive, that's the operative word, strive, to safeguard the integrity of creation. I'd like us to finish now by saying together the prayer that's in the blue font at the bottom of this slide. So after me, let's please say together. Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy, restrain us from excess, and revive in us new hope that through our own glory and your abundant mercy, all creation will one day be healed. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.